We are today. It's interesting that we're gonna. I'm doing something today. I'm actually keeping a promise that I made last spring. Every year we do a series on either parenting or marriage, sometimes both, because those are big issues. They're important to the Lord. They're important to us. So many of us are in that stage of life, or going to be in that stage of life, where we're married or parenting. And so we talk about that a lot. But last time we did a marriage series, this was last spring, I made a promise to the singles. Because every time you do a marriage or parenting series, you kind of recognize that, okay, there's a whole bunch of people in the room that this doesn't necessarily apply to, at least right now. And so I always tell the singles, you know, okay, now, hang in there. There's good things for you to hear in this. You know, this probably will happen for you someday. Even if it doesn't, there's all kinds of stuff here. Okay, married folks, it's your turn. I made a promise that I'm going to do a message on being roommates. And so I'm keeping this is like a campaign promise that I'm keeping here. We're going to talk about roommates. Now, if you are married or in high school or something, do not tune out. Jeff Gibson asked me as I was walking up here what the message was, and I said roommates, and kind of asked me some questions, and it occurred to me as I'm walking up here that 90% of what I'm going to talk about applies to every relationship that you might have. So do not tune out for that reason, because you could learn something, and you will learn something. God speaks to us all the time. But the second thing is, and this is where you guys are going to have to wake up a little bit here, here's what I'm going to do today. I sent out an email to all of the single roommate type folks that I could think of in the church last week and asked them, what would you know, what's on your heart? What would you like to hear about? And so I kind of got a lot of responses back. So I kind of synthesized it down, and here's how we're going to do this morning. I have two main points that I'm going to lay out, but then so much of living with someone, it gets down to specifics. You know, what do I do in this circumstance? What do I do in that circumstance? And so many of the responses I got from the singles were, well, what do I do here when my roommate does this? Or how do I handle this? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make two main points, and then I have a whole list of specific questions people ask me that I can talk about, but I'm going to open it up for questions, all right? So you guys are going to have to be awake at the end of this so that you can ask me questions, all right? So be thinking about that. And again, this doesn't have to be just single folks, because so much of this has to do, really, if you're married, you're in the same situation. You are just in a roommate situation. It's just a little bit different. It's a little bit more intense, perhaps, but really, it's the same thing. If you're a kid living at home yet with mom and dad, well, it's the same thing. Your brother, your sister, they're just like roommates. They're living in the house, and you got to share a bathroom with them and all that stuff. So there's all kinds of questions that all of us can ask, all right? So that's how we're going to handle this today, all right? Everybody on board? Yeah, that girl. All right, well, let's jump into this. I think what happens a lot of times, or one of the things that happens, I think, is when you think about this stage of life, what we're talking about right now, when you think roommates, kind of what you're thinking of is that stage of life, maybe from when you graduate from high school, you're in college perhaps, up until the point, whenever that point is, that you get married. I mean, that's kind of the when you think about roommates, that's what you're thinking of, that period from when you move out of mom and dad's house until you get married, start your own family, and then you've got that thing going again. And there's this period in between there that you end up having roommates, you know. People come and go, you're living in the dorms, you're living in housing, you move a lot, perhaps. Those years of college, you sign a... Well, if you're in the dorms, you're there for 9 months, then you move for the summer, and then you go back to the dorms. If you're not living in the dorms, or if you graduated from college, you know, you sign a lease for a year, and then you might stay there next year, you might not. It's just, it can feel like, and it can be a very, very, very transient kind of time. Everything is changing all the time. It's very much can feel like a transition time. And in a lot of ways it is. But it's very important, I think, to recognize that that time period that we're talking about here, you know, when you've got roommates as opposed to a husband or wife, when you have roommates as opposed to, you know, a mom and dad and brothers and sisters, that time period really, really is a great opportunity. It's not just a holding period. Sometimes I think we can think, okay, I'm just in this long enough to get out of it. or this is going to change soon, and so I'm really not going to, you know, invest too much in this perhaps, or expect too much out of this time period, because I'm just kind of waiting around for something else to happen. If you're in college, you're just kind of waiting around to graduate so that you can get a job and go on to the next stage of your life. If you're single, perhaps you're wondering, thinking, okay, sometime, maybe, hopefully, possibly, I'm going to get married, so now I'm just kind of waiting for that to happen. That's a mistake, I think. I mean, it is a transition time for most of us, but it is a huge opportunity. That's why I titled this, Making the Best of a Great Situation. I really believe that these years, when you're living with people, you're not at home with mom and dad, you're not yet kind of married and starting your own family, you're in this period that feels very transitory, feels very transient, if you will, but it's a great opportunity for you. There are really, really powerful things that God wants to do with you that won't happen if and when you get married. There are things that can happen right now in this stage of life that you have an opportunity, if you're in this stage of life, to have God do things in your heart, in your life, that will be harder to do when you're married. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about here today. What does that look like? You're not just in a holding pattern. You're not just kind of marking time until something else happens here. You really are in a time of great opportunity. So, again, a couple of points that I want to make. Simple points that, again, probably relate to all of us in different times of our life. But this is what they are. Here's the first one. When you're thinking about this idea of living with roommates, here's the first thing that I want to talk about. The goal is community, not coexistence. The goal of having roommates, or what you need to be shooting for here, is community, not just coexistence. It's really easy, because it's a short period of time, say. I mean, when I was in college, I lived in the dorms my whole college career, my undergrad career, and so I knew this roommate that I have right now, I have an out in 9 months. If I don't like him, I can make a switch next semester or next year. And sometimes, you know, you kind of look at this person that you're living with and think, that's pretty good plan. I'm gonna put up with this as long as I have to, and then I'm going to go find someone else. The goal with your roommates is community, not coexistence. I like this verse here. This is in 1 Peter 1:22. It says this, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. It's an interesting verse. I talked about this a few weeks back, if you remember. This is an interesting verse because it lays out, I think, kind of an interesting dynamic here. It acknowledges that we can go a certain level, and that's good, but then there's another level to go to here. It says, you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for your brothers. That's good. In other words, you can look at your roommates and say, you know what? I'm not going to hate you. I'm going to, you know, be a good roommate. I'm going to coexist peacefully with you. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I'm not going to, you know, throw your food out in the backyard. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to kind of really do my best to be a good roommate for you. That's good. That's having a sincere love. That, because a lot of roommates don't do that. I mean, we've probably, many of us have had roommates that, whoa, my second roommate in college, wow, I tell you stories that I just can't repeat in church. But, you know, that I've had other roommates where, you know what, decent guy. Being a decent roommate is good, but there's a step up. Being a decent roommate is we're coexisting. And we're kind of coming to a mutual agreement, and we're kind of living somewhat separate lives, but we're doing it peacefully. It's working, it's functioning. That's good. But there's another level you can go to. He says, here, you have a sincere love for your brothers. That's good. Now, ramp it up. Now, love one another deeply from the heart. That's an increased love. A sincere love, I really want this to work, versus a deep love from the heart. I'm invested in this. You see the difference? I'm willing to make this work I'm invested in this. And it's easy to think as a roommate when you're in that roommate situation, you know what? I'll hold that, I'll save that for when I'm married. I think that's a mistake. I think that you have an opportunity as a single person to really love in some amazing ways, to learn how to love, to be loved in some amazing ways. But we have to have this mindset that, you know what? What I'm looking for with my roommates is community, not just coexistence. In other words, I'm going to develop, if I can, a relationship with you that is beyond just we kind of occupy some of the same space. I'm going to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. Now, that looks different for everybody. I'm not saying that every, roommate is going to be your best friend. I recognize that there are different personalities and there are realities to this. And you're not going to get, it's hard to get incredibly deep with someone in 12 months. It's hard to get incredibly deep with someone in 9 months, say, if you're in the dorms or something like that. But I do think that there is you can have this desire, you know what, I'm gonna shoot for something more than just peaceful coexistence. I really want to develop community with you. So what does that look like? Or how do you do that? How do you make love go up a notch with your roommates? Well, I have some practical, I think, things that you can do. Here's one, is you have to be intentional about it. You have to make a conscious choice that I'm going to do this. And really what it comes down to is making a conscious choice to spend time together. Relationships are built on communication over time. You interact with someone over a period of time, and that's how relationships are built. Every relationship, that is true of any relationship that you have. Communicating, spending time together, interacting over a period of time. That's how relationships are built. So if you are in a roommate situation and you want to go beyond, I mean, I've had roommates where my first roommate down in Madison, honestly, I just coexisted with him. He was very, very different than me. I didn't know him going down there. He had his room, I had my room. And there was a kitchen kind of in between. And it was kind of odd because in the house that we were living in, he had to come through my bedroom to go to the bathroom. That's about the only time I saw him. It was when he was on his way to the bathroom, I'd say, hi, Jim, hi, Rob, and he'd close the door. And he'd come out, hi, Rob, hi, Jim, and he'd go back in. He gave me a Christmas card every year. He was an artist, and he made his own Christmas cards. He gave me one, but it was really just coexisting. We didn't choose to spend any time together. My next set of roommates down in Madison, it was a very different thing. We made an intentional decision. We're going to spend time together. And so you have to be intentional about it. One of the things we did with that next set of guys that I lived with down in Madison, I was there for 3 years, and I lived with the same three guys, me and three other guys, for my last 2 years down there. When we started living together, we decided we're going to have supper together. I was trying to remember this morning if it was, I don't think it was every night. I think it was three nights a week. You know what? It must have been four because everybody had to cook. Everybody had to cook once. So we made a conscious decision. Four nights a week, we're going to have supper together and everybody is going to cook. And that took some commitment. That took some commitment on a couple levels. Number one, it took a commitment on all of our parts to be there, not to go somewhere else. Not to, I got to study tonight, or I'm going to go out with my girlfriend, or I'm going to play basketball or something like that. We need to, I'm going to set those four nights aside, and I'm going to be home at this time. It took a commitment on our schedules. It took a commitment on us. We had to cook, you know. Somebody had to cook, and this is four college guys. So none of us, that was our strength. It took a real commitment to eat what the other three guys cooked, because it was often not good. You know, one of two things always happened when somebody cooked. Number one is we all kind of fell into what was easy. And I had one roommate, he made spaghetti. And, I mean, when I say spaghetti, that's being generous. It was, cook some noodles, and I don't even know if it had any, and some red stuff that went on top of the noodles. And that was it. You know, there was, if we're lucky, that was all we got. And so, you know, you kind of got to choose, all right, I'm going to eat this. Okay, Andy's cooking. I know we're probably going to have what he calls spaghetti. That was almost, I don't know which was worse, when the guy cooked the same thing that he always cooked, or if he decided to get creative. My roommate Dave once decided to make pancakes. And I'm not a cook at all, so I don't understand how this stuff works. But I think that there are certain ingredients that have to go into pancakes to make them work. And he didn't have all the stuff in there. There was something desperately wrong with these pancakes. But, you know, we ate them. But the point is, we were intentional about it. We made a conscious, intentional decision that cost us something. It cost us time. It cost us effort. It cost us commitment. I got to get home. And we lived a long way. We were going to school in Madison. And, the huge campus. And we lived the first year we lived together, the first year we started doing this, we lived way down on Mifflin Street. And it was probably a mile and a half, maybe even 2 miles from campus. And none of us had cars. We were either walking or riding bikes. And so we had to leave campus on time to get home, and we did it. And I just look back on that and think that was a really good thing. We made the commitment. We intentionally chose to spend time together. If you want to go from just coexisting to really living community, you have to be intentional about it. You'd like to think it would just happen. Sometimes it does, but sometimes not. So one of the things, singles, that if you really want this to happen, be intentional about it. Here's a second thing that you have to do if you're really going to shoot for community, not just coexistence. You need to learn this. These next two things are things that I say to married couples all the time. Here's the first one. You need to learn to love something about your roommate that you would otherwise hate. And I mean that with all honesty. You need to learn to love something about your roommate that you would otherwise hate. My roommate Andy, I lived with him for 2 years. There were four of us that lived together, me, Mike, Dave, and Andy. And sometimes they're little things, sometimes they're big things. Here's a little thing. When Andy brushed his teeth, he would brush his teeth for a long time. You know, he'd be in the bathroom, and then he would come wandering out in the, you know, living room or the kitchen brushing his teeth. You know, could probably have lived with that, but he kept his mouth open when he was brushing his teeth. So this is no lie. He's brushing his teeth, and the stuff is running down his arm, and he's talking to you, and it's falling on the floor, and he's going, it's a, get out of here, you slob, go somewhere else. But you know what? I could have hated that, and I was really tempted to, but the guy's breath always smelled good. You know, there's something to be grateful for there. You can't, I mean, that's just a little tiny thing. But there are bigger things. Andy did this better than I did, probably. Andy we really took our relationship with God seriously back then, the four of us. And so we all decided, you know, it's really important to have a quiet time every morning. So in our zeal, we decided we're all going to get up at a certain time. We're all going to have a quiet time at this certain time. Well, Andy was much more of he wasn't a morning person. He was much more of a kind of take things as they come kind of guy. He was, you know, not real precise in what he did. You can tell if he's walking around brushing his teeth. And so when the time came for quiet times, me and Mike were militant about this. And I mean militant. Alarm goes off, get up, make your coffee. And if the other two guys, if Dave and Andy weren't up, we would drag them out of bed, literally. I mean, and there were days when Mike and Dave and I would go into Andy's bedroom and literally grab his feet and pull him out of bed and bounce him off the floor and drag him into the living room. I know Andy hated that. I know he hated it. But I also know this. He appreciated the fact that I was, and Mike, were radically different from him, and it was good for him. It was good for him to get up and have a quiet time, because he wouldn't otherwise, and he would admit that to you. He would sleep too late. He'd sleep until the last second, get up, you know, grab something, rush out the door, go to class. It would never happen, and we wouldn't let that happen. It was very, very hard for him, but he had to work hard at learning to love something about me that otherwise he would hate. You really want to take the next step up with your roommates? Don't give yourself the freedom to hate these things about your roommate. Choose, make a conscious choice. There are certain things about you that I'm going to learn to love, even though I might not like them. Here's the last practical thing for this. Back it up, Nate. We're not there yet. Last practical part of this, or last thought, if you really want to take it up a notch with your roommates, here's the other thing you need to do, and again, I tell this to married couples all the time, you have to choose to believe something about yourself that you'd rather not be true. You have to choose to believe something about yourself that you really wish wasn't true. And I certainly had to do that as a roommate, and I'm having to do it as a husband. But like that situation that I said with Andy, I had to recognize, you know what? My desire for Andy to have a quiet time has more to do with him keeping my rules than it does with Andy spending time with the Lord. I was kind of the oldest guy. I was kind of looked at as the most spiritually mature. And so I felt it was my role to make sure that all of these younger guys did what they were supposed to do. And I was just mean. I was overbearing. My roommate Dave, he and I shared a room together. Andy and Mike shared a room together. I was just critical of Dave all the time, telling him what he did wrong all the time. And it occurred to me one day, I'm laying in bed and recognizing, Rob, you're just no fun to be around. These guys, you know, they love you, and it's fun when we play basketball together. But when we get serious about stuff, Rob, they get this scared look in their eyes. And it's not their fault. It's yours. You're overbearing. And I didn't like that to be true because I thought I was just right. You know what? You should get out of bed, you lazy slob. Get out of bed and have a quiet time. Make your bed. That was another thing. We had to make our beds. Andy wouldn't make his bed. I made my bed. I mean, I was just like a little dictator. My bed, when I got into my bed and I got out again, you couldn't tell I'd been in there because the sheets were so tight. It was just, I'd have been a great drill sergeant. I missed my calling in life. Andy, you couldn't tell if there was a bed there. There's just this pile of gook, and Andy might be in there somewhere. But I was just overbearing. I didn't want that to be true because in my mind I thought, I'm not overbearing, I'm just right. Well, I may have been right, I may not have, but the point was that I was overbearing. I was wearing my roommates down, and I had to recognize that so that we could take this thing up another level. Does that make sense? Love goes up a notch. If you really want to do this well, love has to go up a notch. The goal is community, not coexistence. Here's the second main point that I had here, and that's this. That's the slide that Nate had up there. We need to learn, if you're a roommate, you need to love without commitment. And maybe I would add this, you need to learn to love long-term without long-term commitment. That's hard. This verse in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, this is very much a marriage verse, and we use this at weddings. We talk about it in regard to husbands and wives, and it completely applies to that. And yet the context of this in 1 Corinthians 13, it is not talking about marriage, it's talking about community. It's talking about how we interact with each other in the church. And so all of these admonitions to love one another, all of these descriptions of love that we apply to the marriage relationship, rightly so, really aren't written specifically to that marriage relationship. They're written much more to roommate type situations, interacting with people that you're not married to. That's the context here. And so we need to learn, if you're going to really make this roommate time, this transition time, work well, we need to learn to have these things be true. We need to learn to love long term without long term commitment. And these passages are powerful, powerful passages. For everything you do in your life, you could spend, and you should spend a lot of your life trying to figure out what this looks like for you in your relationship with the people around you. Our lives are just filled with relationships, and this is what our goal is, what we strive for when we think about how we interact with people. Everybody. Not just our husband or wife or our kids. Now again, it looks different. I interact with my wife differently than I do with my neighbor. And yet, these things really need to be the foundation of how I interact with everybody. What is it? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And there needs to be this kind of mindset in this roommate relationship, even though there's a decent chance that it's not going to last long term. You know, one of the things that, as I sent out I talked to the singles and told them I'm going to do this. One of the things that kept coming up is, well, how do you do this? You know, you kind of have to have every year, you kind of redo your whole relational landscape, you know. Maybe, I mean, I had 2 years where I lived with the same three guys, but that's only two out of all those years that I was, you know, in that situation. And most of the time, it's changing. People get a job, they move away. Leases get signed, different things happen. People get married. You know, there's all of this kind of coming and going in your roommate relationships. And I think it's real easy to kind of think, well, you know what? I can only go so far because this is going to end soon. And there is some reality to that, but I really do think that you need to learn to love long-term without that long-term commitment. And what does that mean? What's that look like? Well, love is really just three things. It's, I'm going to desire the best for you. I'm going to work to make the best for you happen. And I'm going to do that regardless of the circumstances. I mean, if you broke down love to its most basic practical forms, I think that's how you would describe it. I want the best for you. I'm willing to work and spend myself, sacrifice something of myself to accomplish the best for you. And I'm going to do that regardless of the circumstances. I'm going to do that to the best of my ability regardless of the circumstances, whether you reciprocate or not, whether it's easy for me or not, whether I like doing it or not, whether you're close or far away, to whatever degree God is asking me to, I want your best. I will work for your best. And that's not going to change based on what you do. Does that make sense? That's a high standard, guys. That is a high standard. And let me tell you, one of the reasons I think that this roommate situation, you have an opportunity that a married couple doesn't have, because the married couple kind of doesn't have a choice anymore. You gotta love that person. You know, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you can't leave. God says, I hate divorce. You made a promise, and you're in this. And that's good. That commitment is good. It's necessary. It's powerful. But if you're a roommate, and your roommate is a jerk, you have a free pass. Walk away. Wash your hands. No one's going to say a thing. If I just left my wife because she brushes her teeth funny, well, people are going to, you know, look at me funny. If you leave your roommate, because I just can't stand it, he walks around, he doesn't clean his room, you got a free pass. But you have the opportunity Now listen to me, you singles. You have the opportunity to love to a greater degree than I do with my wife, because you could leave and no one will care. But if you choose to love anyhow, oh my goodness, that's what God does. He did not have to love you. Jesus did not have to stay. When he came here and we were absolute jerks to him, he could have left. He had no obligation to stay. Chose to. You have an opportunity, roommates, to love in a way that Jesus did, that is even maybe a little bit more honoring to God than the love I have for my wife. If you choose to do it, when the world gives you, and the church and everybody gives you a free pass to walk away. Love, long-term, without long-term commitment. Just a couple of real quick ideas of what that might look like. Well, I think you need to engage spiritually. You know, it's great to wash your dishes, your roommate's dishes for them. That's a great thing to do. It's great to, you know, help them when you can. It's great to just do all that practical stuff. But in the short time we have, I'm just going to say, you really want the best for them, you engage with them spiritually, because growing close to the Lord is better for them than getting their dishes washed or you know, having gas in their car. Those are practical, good things to do. I'm not saying don't do them, but you really want to love well, engage with them spiritually. Pray with your roommates and pray for your roommates. Pray with them and pray for them. When you pray with someone, it forces you to engage spiritually with them, because the two of you are coming together and talking to God, and it introduces God into your relationship with each other. It is an unbelievably powerful thing to do, for you to pray with your roommates. And then pray for them. Get alone. Ask them, what can I pray for you? And be diligent, be disciplined, be faithful to do it. Because God moves on behalf of prayer. And so as you engage with them spiritually, as you engage God for them spiritually, it's good for them. You are sacrificing yourself. You are giving of yourself for their best. And the second thing you need to do, I think, if you really want to love your roommate well, and this may seem like it doesn't have anything to do with it, but it totally does. You have a quiet time every day. You have a quiet time. You grow close in your relationship with God, because you cannot love by yourself. You love because God first loved you. When you have quiet times, when you communicate with God over time, what happens? Your relationship with God grows, and you begin to understand how much you're loved, how much you're forgiven, how much power there is in God's Spirit. You begin to grow as a man or a woman. And what that does is it positions you to love so much well. So don't. Strike that. So much well is not a sense. So much better. Positions you to love so well. Positions you, it gives you power in your love. You spend time with the Lord every day. The best thing, and I mean this, and this is true of husbands and wives as well, the best thing you can do for the people in your house is to have a quiet time every day. I'm going to say that again. The best thing you can do for the people that you are living with is to have a quiet time, spend time with the Lord every day. And a quiet time is reading the Bible, talking to God. That's all it is. To the degree that you do that consistently, in a growing way, in an expanding way, to the degree that you do that, you will be a blessing and a joy to your roommates. You will be a help and a benefit to them, and you'll be able to do all the things that we said. You'll be able to fall in love with things you otherwise would hate. You'll be able to believe things about yourself that you wish weren't true. You can really become that unbelievable roommate. All right. There aren't a whole lot of single folks in here, but I'm just curious if there are thoughts or questions, because I really do. I know that there are all kinds of specifics. You know, what do I do when my roommate doesn't do his chores? What do I do, you know, how do I put up with my roommate who does these things? I'm just curious if there are questions or thoughts and comments about what we've shared here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boundary issues are big, with the, and that's worth talking about, is you really do need to recognize the boundaries. I violated Andy's boundaries by demanding his bed look like mine or something like that. Yeah, that's a communication issue, learning to say, you know what, I just need this time by myself. It's one of those things that you learn after the fact. Your roommate probably had no idea. So coming to them afterward, not angrily, not barking and snarling, just saying, hey, you know what? Really glad that you did this. But that was a situation where I really needed some time alone. So in the future, in a situation like that, how do we handle that? Well, maybe we talk about it. But it's those communication things. And sometimes they're after the fact. And just recognizing that there's a learning curve to this. Yeah, that's a good thing. And that's one of the questions people had is, how do you set boundaries? And learning to understand that your roommates are different than you is a huge thing. You get that after 20 years of marriage, probably. It's a little harder when you're 19, 20, 22 years old, and these people think radically different than you do. And you think, what's wrong with you? Anything wrong with them is different than you. So learning to understand your roommates and to talk about boundary issues is a big thing. Other thoughts or questions? All right, let's do this. Why doesn't the band come on up? We're gonna do some worship here, but I'm gonna pray, and what I'd like us all to think through on. And again, you know, a lot of us, most of the people in this room, are not in a situation where they're in that roommate kind of time. But you are in a situation where you are interacting with people. Your life is filled with relationships. The things that we shared here today speak to relationships. And so I just say, let's just ask God to tell us whatever it is he might want us to take away from this today, okay? So join me in prayer. Lord, I just thank you that you do know us. God, thank you that you understand all of the different seasons of life that we live in. And God, I just pray for each of us that we would learn to, wherever we are, whatever stage of life we're in, help us to relate well to the people around us. Lord, I just pray for the people here who are in that transition time, wondering what's going to happen next. Maybe roommates are changing regularly. Give them wisdom, God. Give them grace to do this well, to really let this be a great time, a time of great opportunity and just great joy, Lord. Make that true in Jesus' name.